All right, we've got Ryan DeRusso on the line here. He is a former journalist and actually has some experience in a PR firm as well. So he's worked on both sides, coming at it from a journalist, coming at it from a PR firm. So he has a lot of experience with how to pitch the media and get more PR for your business. So Ryan, to start out with, could you give a little background about you and your business?
Sure. So Ryan, good to be here, Phil. Thanks for having me. So what we do is we offer media consulting services for entrepreneurs, consultants, independent business owners that need guidance in their media outreach. But we don't have the overhead or the cost of hiring a full time that you would get when hiring a full time PR agency. So we keep it down to a minimum, and we more just advise offer advice for when reaching media. And so I kind of came about this as a journalist. I still work as a freelance journalist. And I wrote for a number of magazines. I still write for Fortune, Money, Yahoo. And I've written for like Fast Company, Inc.com, CNN Money. But I realized that small business owners didn't really have a way to reach media, but there was nothing holding them back. Journalists take pitches from PR professionals just like they take from media or from business owners. So that's the reason we started R&D Media.
Okay, cool. Sorry, could you repeat the name of your company?
R&D Media.
Okay, great. And with your experience in the PR agency world and with your experience as a journalist, I'm sure you've got a few secrets that most business owners trying to pitch the media don't know.
Sure, yeah. And as Phil was mentioning, I did spend some time at a PR firm, so I actually got to learn things from how PR professionals approach pitching media, as well as what journalists look for. And so my advice kind of mirrors the two. It takes what's good from the PR world and what journalists really want to see. And so really, one thing that when you're pitching media, if you are pitching media at all, then you're ahead of the game, because many new business owners shy away from this. They believe that you need the experience, the expertise, the contacts to really have impact in media. But that's not totally true. So that's a terrible reason not to do it. Journalists need a number of different kinds of sources for all different types of reasons within their specific beat. And so you can find where your niche is within the beat you are trying to reach or the target audience you are trying to reach. Another thing is, journalists receive about 1,000 or 100 emails a day from PR reps and businesses wanting to let them know about a specific product. So half your job is making sure they actually see the email. It's getting them to notice that email, getting them to realize that, this might be something that they should look for. Is half the job of a pitch. And that goes to the content that you're providing in the pitch, because you have that much email to deal with as a journalist every day. If you're constantly getting notices from someone who constantly sends you poor pitches, you hit spam. And that means it's just in their spam filter, and they never see it again. So you don't want to do that. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of their time. So you need to avoid this, especially. And then the last thing to really remember, and PR people know this really well, because when they try to get their clients in front of a journalist, they aren't necessarily pitching a product all the time. They're mostly pitching the person's expertise. So they're saying, hey, journalist, talk to this engineer at this company about this technology. And that's what journalists really want to find. They need expertise to help them with their coverage, help them understand, a technology better, a new law better, a way that small businesses are attacking a new problem easier. So that's how you should really focus when you reach out to a journalist.
Okay. And we'll get into more details later. First, I wanted to ask you kind of the start of the internet and all these blogs are popping up. How have things changed in terms of the strategy to reach media, I would expect that it's much easier now.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. So there's two things that have changed. One is that print publications have had to cut pages. You know, there's fewer print publications. So there's less space in the print world to have a story, to get into the magazine. And so it'll be more difficult for small business owners, people with less experience talking to media, to get into a print publication. It doesn't mean you can't, it's just there's just less room, so there's less space. But that said, you're right. With the growth of blogs, with the growth of online media, there's a ton more opportunities to reach new target audiences, to reach new publications, because there's tons popping up. Also, just based on, you know, the economics of the media, when you're online, you need more content, because more content needs more clicks. More clicks needs more advertising. So they're constantly looking for new ways and new stories. And if they can find someone that can fill that void, they can put that up very quickly.
Okay,
and then actually, there's another point I would actually say to that is, I think having a way to highlight your expertise online also has become more important because of the growth of online. Because a lot of these journalists, they're working so quickly, they just need to know that you will work before they contact you. So having a blog or something like that will also make it easier for them to pop up and say, hey, yeah, I want to contact this person, because they know that you have the expertise and they are able to find that very quickly online. That's another point to say.
Okay, yeah, that definitely makes sense, and that's definitely one of the values of starting your own blog, creating that authority.
Absolutely. And they like a voice. They like knowing that you're going to be strong, you're going to be opinionated, and you can highlight that through an authoritative voice on the blog.
Right. And kind of taking a step back, we didn't touch on the importance of creating a plan of attack. Could you kind of elaborate on what you feel is a good plan for media outreach?
Yeah, so it's definitely important to have a plan. When you, let's say you're planning a media outreach around a product launch, let's say. So you're having to deal with, you know, what's going on with the product, making sure it's working well. Once the launch goes live, you need to make sure the sales site looks good. You need to make sure you can respond to customer service questions and stuff like that. So you're going to be really busy. And that's why I think maybe oftentimes PR side gets dropped. But with the right plan, you can reach media fairly quickly and save your time for the more important, you know, sales aspect of it. So in order to do this, prior to the launch, you want to take a look at what publications you're actually going to be reaching, because you want to be able to find the journalist that you want to reach. Then write it down. I mean, just have a list. Have a list of journalists. Make sure you have their contact information. And then mark which day you are going to reach them, because depending on the pace of the campaign, as I mentioned, I mean, magazines, I mean, they're going to have a lead time of a month, 2 months, 3 months. So you're not going to need to be available to them immediately like you would a blogger who may want to put something up within an hour. So make sure when you're planning it, time out your response, your email, so you're not doing all bloggers within a minute, and then all magazines 2 weeks later. Pace it out. Give yourself some time. And then also in the plan, it's also important to note when to follow up, because, you know, one thing I mentioned was the fact that you know, journalists get hundreds of emails a day, so some are going to slip through their site. So the follow-ups are very important, and you need to be able to respond and time for that during your planning stages.
Okay, so...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, keep going.
And that's the other aspect. It's a big question that always comes up is why PR and, you know, the ROI of PR and whatnot. And, you know, people have been trying to answer that for I don't know, 70 years, 80 years, who knows. But, I mean, part of the purpose and part of the reason, and I find this to be a good way to think about it. So I was speaking to a management consultant in Austin about this. His name is Brad Clausen. You can look him up. He's great resource, great blog and whatnot. But he showed me this diagram of an effective business, and at the bottom was the business foundation. And this includes everything like sales, marketing, customer service, et cetera, and that's where PR would fit. And so when all these parts are working together, that's when you create an effective business, which is actual money coming in. And then, you know, assuming your product is a good product and all these things are working together, that's also when you create value. And so that's the whole goal of this diagram, show how to create value. But when you look closer at the business foundation, what that's really saying is that sales is working with marketing, which is working with customer service to make drive an effective business. And that's where PR fits. PR, when you have when you are in a publication, you're now getting a third party person saying this is a valuable product. This is going to drive clicks back to your site. This is going to drive more people back to your site, which will make your marketing more effective, which will lead to sales. Or it'll drive people to your site. It'll add people to your social media presence. It'll add an opportunity to interact with customers, growing your customer service. So all these things are working together for the common good, and PR, you know, can help buffer and improve all the sales, marketing, customer service aspects. So it's a good way of how I like to think about it.
Yeah, you definitely touched on one of the main benefits I see is kind of leveraging the PR to then improve your marketing. So if you're showing up in Forbes, and you can say, as seen in Forbes, and that gives a lot of credibility, like you said, that third-party endorsement. People trust Forbes. They might not know who you are, but they're indirectly going to trust you just because you've been featured in Forbes.
Yeah, and it's something you can highlight on your site forever. I mean, Forbes isn't going anywhere, so it's, you know, something that can, it's an evergreen thing that you can highlight.
And kind of with, you touched on social media, and I'd like to get your take on, you know, weaving PR into social media and how you see that playing out. Do you recommend business owners who are interested in getting into PR that should they leverage social media in addition to that, or do you see them as totally separate?
No, so it's when we're talking about using it for PR, if you're using social media to try to reach media specifically, it's going to be a long haul because you're not going to just like reach out to a journalist and they're going to immediately be like, oh, you know, I like that one tweet. Let me give him a call and see what's going on. It's going to take some time. So it's going to take some cultivation. It's possible. But it does take some cultivation. The one thing, this is one thing that, you know, you learn when you're working on the PR side, when you're working within a PR firm, is that the PR and the social media should all work together for one purpose. Like, if your social media presences are supporting a new product, right? So your real goal on the social media side is to sell this product. So you're putting up sales, you're putting up interesting competitions to encourage people to interact with the product or buy the product, and that's a great use of social media. Then on your PR side, you should be using that as a way to get in front of journalists. You should be like, hey, journalist, you know, who covers social media. Listen, I've come up with a great way to market on social media, and this is how. Would you like to talk about it at some point? Talk about the idea of, you know, marketing on social media and whatnot. And that's a great way to get yourself in front of the journalist. And then if the journalist bites and you get a hit, it's a great way to help your social media campaign, because now people are going to be looking at it. They're going to see you as a social media savant, for lack of a better word, and they're going to want to know what you're doing from there on out. So it's more of a way that they work together as opposed to, you know, as opposed to working in a vacuum.
Okay. Yeah, I have heard of people, you know, direct messaging on Twitter to contact journalists. Sounds like you recommend email versus trying to contact via social media.
I do. You know, it depends on who you're talking to. So me, I do. I that's how I get my ideas from PR firms is through, when I'm working with PR firms, is through email. There are some journalists out there are very, you know, they're on Twitter all day long. And so if you can form a relationship, then that's great, because then they know you, they know where you're coming from and whatnot. It's just, it takes a lot longer. So unless you love Twitter or love Facebook, I would stick to the email. And I wouldn't call. I got to tell you, like, I know every PR person I know has a story about how one time they got this great hit because they called a journalist. But what they're not telling you is about 1,000 other times they called, and they either got hung up on immediately or chewed out immediately or just annoyed the journalist. And so, really, if you want to waste your time with a 1 in 1,000 ratio, I don't, so I choose not. I would not call, but that's just me.
Okay. That's good to know. And you touched on a couple examples, but it'd be great if you could elaborate on an example of how PR has actually helped a company grow.
Sure. So actually there's a great example from the PR firm that I previously worked at. I still do some work for them a little bit. So right as I was coming into the firm, or right after I came into the firm, they had signed this company. It was a deal news type site where they posted like deals throughout the day, Groupon deals and whatnot. And so, you know, their whole idea is getting as much traffic to their page, getting as much people to see these deals. So then they purchase through the deal, they get some sort of cut. And, you know, they had been doing well the year before. They got about 80,000 clicks and about 180, a little over 180 media mentions the year before. But then they come to the PR firm and they're like, hey, we need some more help with this. In 4 months, the PR firm created 600 media mentions and nearly 300,000 clicks to the site. And we don't get access to their sales, but if you just take a simple ROI expectation from that, you can see where their impact from that much more traffic could bring to the bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely. So could you just elaborate on what kind? You said 300 or 600 press mentions. Like what would that look like?
It's a little different depending on the company. So this is a deal news site, so you're talking about constant updates, constant changes to the website, and constant news in terms of, and we're not talking news like CNN-type news. We're talking like, you know, deals on iPads and stuff like that. And so around the holidays, there's going to be tons of opportunities where there's journalists wanting to just write daily roundups of deals or ask for advice from someone who knows about coupon shopping or deal shopping and whatnot. And so that's when this site and the owner of the site becomes a valuable resource, because this is what they do on a daily basis, and they can give readers some insight into how to go about saving during the holidays.
Okay. And how much time does the business owner devote to PR? Is this something that he can get done in an hour a week, or is it more like every day that he's needing to write for to get those 600 press mentions?
So 600, that's not going to happen to most, you know, most companies. It's just it's the way it was set up. But that doesn't mean that, and, you know, this company was paying us, a third-party outsourcer, to specifically focus on them, you know, how many hours per week. But you don't need to do that. As a, you know, an entrepreneur, you don't have time for that. So this is where the plan comes in, and this is why the plan is so important. So let's say if you're doing this around a product launch, which we've been using as an example for a lot of this, you'll want to, like, plan out, like, a good month of pitching. So you can space out, you know, let's say you target, I would say for an entrepreneur like that, who's new, who, you know, doesn't have tons of experience with media, I would look for about 40 targets, 40 to 50 targets. And so you can space that out over a month, and that could lead to about 30 minutes of work per week, because what you're doing is you're writing one or two emails, changing it up per publication and then hitting send. It takes, once you have the email and have the list, it takes seconds to write to five or six journalists, because you're just making small tweaks, changing the name, etc. So it really does not need to take much time, and that's why I encourage people to look to do it themselves, because it doesn't take much time and the impact can be really great, and it can be cheap.
Okay, so pretty quick to reach out. And now, the typical press mention an article, or are they a lot of, say, interviews, or maybe just like a contributor for maybe just like a piece of an article? So you're just getting like a quote.
Mm-hmm. You should when you're planning the campaign, you should definitely look to get a few different types of hits. So you'll want a few newsy types of hits. This would be going to your, like, local paper and saying, hey, you know, I have this product that we're launching. I work here in Long Island City, New York. That's where I'm based. So, you know, would you write about me? And the local paper very well might, because they're constantly looking for news within their, you know, little area of expertise. You should also look to you know, national publications where you can show off your expertise, and this may be an interview. It may lead to something immediately, or you just may impress the person. So when the journalist is ready to write something about, let's say you're coming up out with an app of some sort, if the journalist is saying, you know, maybe this doesn't work for me right now, but like down a week or two later, they come up with an idea for, you know, types of new apps, you might be a good resource for them, and then that would be a quote of some sort. And then you should also plan for bylines, so reaching out to blogs, trade magazines, or even maybe even magazines, and try and get a guest piece on the site or in the publication. And that's where you could really highlight, you know, this is your expertise, this is what you do, what you see on a daily basis, and what people should know about you.
Okay. Yeah, so there's a lot of different angles you can go with it. Would you say one is easier than the other in terms of getting the press mention? I would imagine just actually submitting an article that they can take and then publish, on one hand, is the easiest, because, you know, the journalist doesn't have to do anything. They just, you know, just kind of publish the article. Versus an interview is going to take a lot of time, and then if they're going to write about you, there's going to be some kind of an interview process there.
Sure. The interview process could take a little time. I guess I left that out in the estimate, but that's a good time. I mean, that means you broke through, and you have a new contact moving forward, so you should look at that as like, hey, that's a win. So if it takes a little bit more time for that, go for it. I would say in terms of ease, yeah, well, the local paper probably could be the easiest solution, depending on where you are. For me, it would be incredibly difficult. I'm not getting the New York Times like that. But you know, for someone in Lewisville, Texas, the Lewisville paper very well could take your piece. In terms of bylines, yeah, it depends on where you're targeting. If you're targeting a national blog, it might be difficult. But if you're targeting, it's not that it won't be difficult. It's just you need a really good idea. And you don't have to write the thing beforehand. You just have to write out what the idea is going to really look like. And then, it also, bylines to blogs opens up a whole plethora of options because you can go to a whole number of blogs that are willing to take guest posts. And it can be very effective as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great strategy, especially for PR and for SEO as well.
Absolutely.
So could you, we definitely touched on a lot of the steps, but it'd be great to kind of boil it down. What would be the maybe 3 to 5 steps that a local business like a restaurant or professional practice would take? And keep in mind they might be on a limited budget.
Sure. So the budget is a great aspect of this because a lot of these steps, they can develop while you're doing other work. So the first step to take when you're thinking of doing a media outreach campaign is to really come up with an idea that highlights your expertise, but is also a trend within the industry. So let's take an example of the restaurant owner, right? The restaurant right now, if you're a local restaurant owner, you should definitely be pitching media because organic is in right now, farm to table is in, things of that nature that large restaurants can't do. Like they don't have, they have too much scale. They can't do that. So you have the advantage to where you can really talk about organic or a farm to table. So that's an example of really showing where you fit in what's going on in the world. So highlight the expertise within the trend. So figure out that idea first. That's first and foremost. Then that's when you need to go and find media to target. So you probably will have a few media companies in mind, a few publications in mind. Keep write those down. The best way to go about this, in my opinion, is when you have developed that idea, when you have developed that idea, think about some keywords that it touches on. So for restaurants, it would be restaurants, organic, farm to table, those types of keywords. Then search within the publications for the journalist that writes on that specific keyword. So you can then find 3 to 4 to 5 journalists at various publications that cover those specific keywords. And if you come up with 4 or 5, and 5 or 6 keywords, you already have 25 to 30 journalists that you can reach out to immediately. And then you just set up the email. So that would be the next step. You just write out the email, keep it short, keep it between 3 and 4 paragraphs, and highlight what you want to talk about and where you can help the journalist. And then send it off. And then just plan time for follow-up, and that's really about it.
Okay, and just to clarify the follow-up, do you recommend, give it a week, just 3 days? What's your typical follow-up time?
Yeah, so I always say a week. Journalists are busy. They have a lot of other things that they have to deal with, and so just because they haven't responded to you doesn't mean they don't have it. They don't know about you, and they're just not. They're just waiting to hold it off. So you don't, in that case, you don't want to annoy them, because that's when you end up on the blacklist. So I always say a week. Some people will say 3 to 4 days. I always get annoyed when I get those 3 to 4 days later, so I would avoid it. But some people get anxious, so they want to do it quicker. And then just for the follow-up, it's really just taking the email that you already sent, just hit reply and say, hey, I just wanted to circle back on this. I thought it would be something you'd be really interested in, and you can see the full pitch below. And then that's all they have to do. They just scroll down. So it's a real simple process, and it should only take about 20 seconds.
Okay, and let's just say, you reach out to 20 and maybe only get in contact with five, do you recommend then maybe the following month you're going to want to do another round of PR? Would you still follow up with those people that pretty much ignored you the first time?
Yeah, because it could have just been the idea that you had the first time. It just didn't work for what they were doing right then. It doesn't mean that you can never pitch them again. It just means that they didn't like that specific idea, or that idea didn't really fit with what they were doing at that point. You know, I mean, yes, you should be readjusting your campaign every month, 2 months, however long it takes to get through. And coming up with some new journalists to also reach, because that just expands the network and expands the opportunity to really land in larger publications. Because the more you do this, the more you're quoted, the better chance that you're going to land in a bigger publication. Because journalists, they love to know that other journalists have covered you. It's lonely when you're the only one covering a certain topic or only one using a certain source. So they like to see that you've helped other journalists with the same expertise. So yes, follow up with the same people. As long as it still fits within their beat. Readjust your campaign and start whole new campaigns. You can start a new pitching process because you launched a new marketing campaign. It provides you insight and it provides fodder to reach out to a journalist.
Okay, yeah, that's a great point then. So like you said, you don't want to annoy the journalist. You don't want to burn that bridge because you might want to follow up in a month or two with another pitch that might be of interest to them. So definitely, take it slow, I guess, in terms of the follow-up and don't annoy them.
Yeah, I mean, these are things that as you do it more, you'll sort of understand the flow of what happens when a pitch goes out. Because of the way, the dynamics of the way the organization works, most of the time you're just not going to get a call immediately after a pitch. The journalist probably has five other stories they're writing at that point. So there's a good chance that you're just going to have to wait a little bit. And so when you're looking for immediate results, you probably don't want to look towards PR, but long-term, this can really drive a lot of credibility, as we mentioned, credibility, clicks, and whatnot back to your site.
And you also mentioned another great point in terms of journalists want to see some of your previous exposure. Do you recommend when you're reaching out to them in your email to kind of link back to maybe some of the guest blog posts you've done and maybe some of the quotes you've been referenced in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't do the quote so much. What I would do is at the end, you'll sort of say, there's sort of room to say, and if you need more information on this topic, you can go see my blog here, link to that. And that's when you have the opportunity to say, and you can also see what I said in said publication link and said publication link. That's fantastic if you can show that, because it gives them the comfort that you can speak to the topic and that you can speak authoritatively, because that's really what they want to find.
And how about the subject line for these pitches? What do you recommend?
I recommend it looking a lot like when you're writing blog posts, what a headline would look like. So you want it full of like SEO-like keywords, because they search Google just like you do, and that's how they search. And so that's constantly on their mind, because what's going to drive a successful story is not just the content, but it's also going to be clicks. So if you could show something big in the news, if you can relate to something big in the news and say how you can help them and put in like mobile or Apple iPhone or something like that, that's immediately going to get their attention more than say, I can't think of a bad headline right now, but it's just something lacks keywords and lacks pizzazz.
Okay, yeah, that's another great point. So are you familiar with Google Trends? Do you ever use that tool?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it sounds like you're recommending paying attention to Google Trends to maybe pick off some of the trending keywords and use those as a subject for your emails.
It's definitely one way to go about it. As we talked about, there's a number of reasons to reach media and do an outreach campaign. And one way that some people like to do is they just want to build their own expertise. And so what they'll do is they'll jump off the news of the day and say, hey, I can help you talk about that. Because that's what journalists really need experts immediately and that minute. And so I wrote a blog post recently that when, like, a small business owner could jump off the trend of the hurricanes that were hitting New Orleans after, make sure, everything is cleared away. But then you can jump in and be like, listen, like, my business suffered from a slowdown from a hurricane or, a natural disaster of some sort, and this is how I dealt with it. Would you like to talk more about it? It's a great way to get in front of the journalist.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Are there any counterintuitive secrets or maybe not so obvious lessons that you've learned pitching the media?
Yeah. So you phrased this question to me, and I was thinking about it. It's like it's counterintuitive. I don't know, but there's definitely some mistakes that I'm not sure business owners would be aware of that they're making. That I commonly see as a journalist. And one of the biggest ones that I got to say, especially for business owners, this doesn't come from PR people very much, but from business owners, is they try to order the journalists around as if they were like an employee of some sort. And it's funny because, as a business owner, you're used to giving orders, but it's just not something the journalist wants to read in their pitch. In fact, it can annoy a lot of journalists because they're not your employee, and that's important to remember. And they're not on your time frame; they're on their own time frame, and they have a different purpose for writing a story than you. You're there because you want to promote your company, you want to show your expertise, you want to drive clicks off your site. They just want good content that their readers are going to read. And so it's a different dynamic than why you're pitching them. So by ordering them around, They're just going to ignore it. And then, frankly, with 100 emails a day like that, they love ignoring it. So don't do that, I would say. Number one, that's a big one. And then that also speaks a little bit to just pitching your expertise again. I think that's the most counterintuitive one I can think of. It's just remember that you're there to help the journalist because the journalist needs your expertise. So don't shy away from that and really focus on that in the pitch.
Okay. Yeah, those are great tips. And do you ever recommend a business owner outsource their PR and media outreach? So the actual research to find the journalists and then, all the emails and the follow-up and so pretty much the research, the emails, and the follow-up. Do you ever recommend outsourcing that?
Absolutely. I think when you have the ability to pay for quality PR representation, you should absolutely do that. You should know that prior, until you can reasonably pay for quality service, like you can find PR outsourcers that are really cheap, but they're not going to get you what you want. They won't know how to reach the media. They've never done this before. So be careful until you can afford a quality agency. But the problem is a quality agency is going to run you, I say $2,000 a month. That's on such the low end. It really is going to be closer to $5,000 a month. That's going to add up considerably throughout the year. So be careful when selecting an agency. That said, you can still outsource a lot of this stuff to your own employees. like when you hire an agency, the person pitching the media is going to be the most junior person at that organization. So it's not like you should be afraid to give it to a junior person at your company and give them the ability to do this. Just make sure you let them know that they can't talk on record, that they're really there just to plan everything and organize the call with you and the journalist. That's it. But let's say you can now afford a PR agency. Just make sure you make it clear to the PR firm why you want media outreach and what you're really looking for, as well as who your target audience is. I've once worked with a client that had really no idea who their target audience was. They were just like outdoors people, and that's it. And it's just a very broad audience, and it made for a poor campaign, and they ended up, you know, not getting much out of their efforts because they just didn't know who they really wanted to reach. And, you know, we can do as much as we can in order to help them, but it's really up to you to know who you want to reach and why. And then also ask others and ask for resources, for references, that is, from the PR firm. So ask other small business owners or other entrepreneurs that you know that already use a service. Make sure that they actually enjoy the service and they're getting something from the service. And then once you have started talks with the PR firm, make sure to ask for references because they all have them and they will provide them quickly.
And what are some of the key benefits of using a PR agency?
It's just like outsourcing anything. They're probably gonna get a few more results for you. It depends on the size of the company. Large companies, you know, they have to use a PR firm just to handle the inflow. For a smaller company, it's really just to handle that, but know that you're probably not gonna get that much more out of their efforts, because they still are going to be working on an hourly basis, so they only have so many hours a week to say, you know, this is for them, for this specific company, your company. And so it's really a time saver at that point. They'll also, because they have so much time for your company, they'll come up with new ways to attack the media angle. They'll do some brainstorming. And that can really lead to some valuable marketing campaigns. It's just whether you have the money to afford that extra time that they're taking.
Okay, so yeah, it sounds like time saving and possibly some creativity that you might not be able to come up with on your own or hire.
Sure. Yeah, you know, a lot of PR firms will say, oh, they have these great connections. But we were talking about one thing that's changed. Things have changed with the online media, and really, one thing that's changed is just the way people pitch. So yeah, I imagine like maybe 20, 30 years ago, journalists and PR reps were constantly, you know, going out to dinner or golfing or drinking and whatnot. And while that still happens, when you're talking about most pitching, it's just done through 100 emails or, you know, 50 emails in an hour. Get as many emails out in an hour as possible. And so, sure, if that PR rep has provided great content to this journalist before, they may notice it. And they'll say, like, oh, I recognize that name. Let me click on that. But really, they're going to be going about it the same way that you would go about it, and that's just emailing and trying to give a good expert reason to connect with the source.
Okay, yeah, that's good to know. So it sounds like the playing field has been leveled recently.
Absolutely. You know, you hear about it all the time in marketing and in, you know, launching new products, launching new sites, how the online world really just has leveled everything. And PR doesn't get talked about as much as a lot of other parts of the business, but it's the opportunity is still there.
Okay, and for anyone that is going to do this on their own, do you have any recommended resources or tools that they should know about?
Sure. So there's a few tools for building media lists. There's congress.org has a list of all the publications you can think of. There's AllTop, which is a bunch of blogs listed by keywords. And then there's Muckrack, which is a Twitter tool that takes in all journalists' tweets, and so you can see what journalists are tweeting about your specific keyword. There's also something called Help a Reporter Out, or HARO, where a journalist will post, you know, they need a small business owner who can talk about the new health care bill or something like that. And so they'll just be looking for anyone who can really talk about the health care bill to contact them directly. It's a great resource. It's a reactive resource as opposed to a proactive resource, but it's still great to look into. And then I'll be releasing an insider's guide to PR on October 9th, which it'll lay out in 4 to 5 steps about how you can create a campaign yourself and begin pitching and connecting with media today. And, you know, it'll have a number of example pitches and even email templates so that you can just add in information, your personal information, and hit send. So as you were talking about the time factor, this will cut it down tremendously. And it'll be 50% off the first week, so definitely be on the lookout for it.
Okay, great. And you mentioned a Twitter resource, and I didn't quite catch the URL. Could you repeat that?
Sure. It's called Muckrack, M-U-C-K-R-A-C-K. And the best way to get it is, I believe it's twitter.com/muckrack. But you can also just Google Muckrack Twitter. You'll find it.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll include that when I send out this interview. Anything that I should have asked you but didn't, or any final advice?
You know, that was very expansive, so there's not much, but I would just say that you really should look for a number of different outlets when you're planning your campaign. So it spreads out your options, and maybe, you know, the technology type of publication is not going to bite on your campaign idea or your reason for reaching out, but maybe a small business organization publication would. So look for that. I'd also look at trade magazines. They can be a great way to get a really good guest column or something like that. Sometimes they get overlooked, but trades are what your target audience is probably reading. So as long as you're targeting correctly, trade can be a great way to go. And then, you know, if you're not seeing results in your pitches, don't be afraid to tweak them. Like, you know, people have ideas all the time, and they're just an idea until they work. So just continue to tweak them, and then, you know, the right journalist will see it, and it will quickly become a story.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think we definitely covered a lot here, and it's a lot of great advice. I took a lot of notes, and I really appreciate you taking the time, Ryan.
Thank you for having me. Enjoyed it.